Hello there, welcome along to the Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer with the Race and Post's weekly golf show. This week, looking ahead to one absolutely brilliant tournament, dripping in quality, and another so devoid of quality that someone called Brandon Harkins is the second favourite. We'll get to those, but first look back on three interesting tournaments last week where the theme was rolling back the years. Before we talk about those, Steve, how are you? Away from golf and away from betting, what were the best and worst things that happened to you in the last 7 days?
Oh, you're getting me away from things, are you?
Just as a nice little sort of warm-up, you know?
Yeah. I suppose the best thing was supping some Madry. It's my new favourite lager.
Everyone's drinking Madry, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a real hit. It's so smooth. And
I read an article about it. It's the fastest sort of growing lager of all time, and absolutely doesn't go anywhere near Spain. It's brewed in Tadcaster in Yorkshire.
That is mad, isn't it?
But it's nice.
Pardon the pun. Yeah. So
you had some Madrys. That was the highlight. What about the low point? Did you cry at all last week?
No tears. Managed to get through the week with no tears. But illness again, you know, I've just gone back down again. But the temperature's dipped. It's a good excuse. I mean, I don't know whether the Madry intake was related to the illness. Can weaken your immune system, can't it? Maybe a bit of the Ibethan flu. But but the temperature is really annoying me. I thought we were through the cold snap, and here we are in the depths of it again.
March tomorrow, so hopefully things are looking up. Oh, by the way, I must remember, I keep forgetting. If you enjoy the show, please do like, subscribe, comment and share. That's it, isn't it? Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, so well done.
So we're not broadcasting again until you do one of those things. Okay, right, well done, thank you. Right then, Steve, where should we start our review? As I say, it was all about golfers who haven't won for a while, and so there was some nice human interest stories, and I guess none nicer than a chap who seems very, very popular, a bit of a character, Marcel Seam, who won the Indian Open. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think you've hit the theme on the head there, if that's an expression, because real parallel. Let's make it.
Okay.
Let's make it an expression. You've hit the theme on the head of that nail, because Chris Kirk and Marcel Seam would come on to Chris Kirk. Yeah, they hadn't won for many a moon on the main tours. Kirk hadn't won since 2015. CM hadn't won since 2014. But they both had won on the lower leagues. Kirk won on the Corn Ferry in 2020. CM won on the Challenge Tour in 2021. So, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And he's ended two droughts last week.
He did. I thought it was really nice with him, because you could tell by the way, you know, everyone talks and, you know, there was a lot of love and a lot of support for him on Twitter there, wasn't there?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He seems like an amazing kind of guy, because he teed off at 18 and promptly lit a cigarette and then was last sort of spotted undoing his flies heading to the bushes for a wee-wee. I mean, like, you know, he seems like one of those golfers who doesn't really care that much, you know?
Yeah. He's very un-German-like, isn't he? Yeah, he's not, you know, most Germans you sort of characterise as robotic golfers and, you know, like Bernard Langer obsessing about yardages. But, Mark CM seemed a real carefree character. And
he had a nice bright shirt on.
He did have a nice bright shirt on. Yeah. I remember Marcel Seam when I was in Valderrama. He fell in the shower and word got round. This is many moons ago. He tripped over in the shower and really injured himself before the Volvo Masters there. So I managed to oppose him. That was about 25 years ago. But he's recovered from the shower incident.
Can you exonerate the visor? I guess he has to use a visor because you couldn't get your man bun under a baseball cap, could you? You're very down on visored players, but I think he might be a slight exception to the rule there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, you're right. He has no choice but to wear the visor, does he? But the Germans dominated that event in the end, didn't they?
Yannick Paul.
Yeah, I think Yannick Paul. It's such a consistent ball striker. We've got to back him on difficult courses like last week's one. It's not a pretty swing, but it just churns out greens and regulation. So Yannick Paul's on our radar. Marcel Seam, I don't know where he's going to go from here. I think he'll probably just go and relax, enjoy a few more cigarettes, as you say.
Fair enough. 33-1, I think Seam was. 25-1 was the price on Kirk. He was pretty much fourth or fifth favourite. And he won a thrilling head-to-head with Eric Cole down the stretch. So both good stories. Obviously, Kirk has battled alcoholism. Eric Cole has had family tragedy. His brother died very suddenly, and he's been diagnosed with various illnesses. So I think there was a nice story there, whoever won it. The shot that Kirk hit into the green on the playoff hole was just an absolute beauty. I mean, he had that incredible rush of blood in regulation play, didn't it? Where he went for the green and was about an inch away from hitting it, but then it rebounded and almost landed in the sponsor's car in the middle of the lake. So it was a right old ding-dong, wasn't it? Both of them thought they must have had one hand on the trophy at one stage. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I thought it was a real feel-good story for Chris Kirk. He's a really likeable bloke. He talks very openly and honestly. His press conference afterwards was really interesting. And, you know, it was quite funny at times as well. You know, he chuckles about what he's been through. And, I mean, the funniest moment for me was that, you know, there's like subtle differences. Yeah, Americans and us Brits, we sort of think we've got the same language, but we don't, do we? There's subtle differences in how we say things. And like over here, if we're disappointed in something, we say we're pissed off. Mm. And the Americans just say we're pissed.
Chris,
during that, he's talking about his alcoholism, and then he talks about the shot into the water in the 7 second hole, and he goes, "I was pissed with that. I was pissed when I put it in the water." I just thought, blimey, yeah, what an admission that is. Yeah, he was off the wagon. That's why it's such a bad shot there. But it's not what he meant. Yeah, it's an amazing recovery. And again, at the end of the conference, it was a really nice moment. The reporter was saying, is this the first time you're going to celebrate without a drink? You know, having one on the PGA Tour. And he said, yeah. And he says he's massively into his Diet Coke. Even Sepp Straka, his best mate, Sepp Straka, a phenomenal Diet Coke drinker, apparently. He drinks like gallons of it. So, they had a big night on the Diet Coke afterwards.
Good stuff. Yeah. Excellent. That's good. By the way, did you notice last week we were talking about the erectile dysfunction advert? There's another one this week, isn't there? For like male kind of incontinence pads. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
That
I didn't
was being
catch
played
that one.
A few times. Yeah, there was it? Yeah. It's basically a sort of guy, late 50s, early 60s. Good looking chap with a moustache, and he's all there, but he's standing behind this medical screen, and then he says, he admits that he's got this problem. He's a little bit kind of leaky. So he suddenly turns up with this pair of like quite thick sort of absorbent pants. And I was thinking, you know, you have to go all those lengths to stop your kids focusing on the details of the erectile dysfunction. And now you've got another one you've got to try and divert their
I think I could tackle that one a bit more head on. I might have to get some of them. They sound quite useful. I could use them. No, the one that winds me up is the fanatics.co.uk now. They're just the one where they say, show what a great fan you are by buying a shirt, come up with some amazing idea that no one's had before. Support a football team, you could buy a shirt. Just show you're a fanatic. That why I did it. In my flipping head all the time. I fanatically hate that advert. But yeah, there wasn't erectile dysfunction on last week, thank God.
Well, that's good then. And on the Liv Myakoba front, Charles Howell III, another player who's been in the doldrums for a few years, suddenly trousered £4 million. I mean, where did that final round 63 come from? Turn it into an out and out procession.
It did. I think the Saudi bosses might be a bit angry with Charles Howell III because it just killed the tournament. You know, we often talk about the tournament not starting until the back nine Sunday. That tournament was over by the back nine Sunday because Chucky Three Sticks was playing like a Tiger Woods in his pomp. So on the other side, they put them up against each other, don't they? Deliberately, PGA Tour timings are done to take on the Liv. They didn't need to worry about it on Sunday because nobody could have been watching the Liv. You had a really tight tussle going on the PGA Tour, and you just had a Charles Howell procession there. I mean, I'm a long time fan of Chuck here. I think he's a massive.
He's a bit of a pet. He's one of our sort of pet golfers, isn't he? We like him, don't we?
Well, when he first came onto the scene, I just thought world number one. Certainly,
did I know he was like the Thomas Peters of his time, wasn't he? Every week it was Charles Howell III.
Yeah, and a serious man crush on him. I remember going to the Open. He made his Open debut, and I was there, and I was just like in awe. I was thinking, oh my God, this is the man. But he's a massive underachiever, and I was pleased for Chucky. But it's a difficult tournaments all round last week. I just couldn't get any place money. Yeah, Pablo Larrabal. I mean, he finished a shot shine in. Just couldn't find any place money.
Never mind, mate. These things happen. You can't. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? When by its very nature, you're tipping at big prices, so you can't always get.
There's no guarantees. No guarantees in this game.
Were you able to watch the LIV Golf, by the way? I mean, yeah, we were talking last week. It was on YouTube, wasn't it, I think?
No. It wasn't on YouTube. It was on the app. So it's on the LIV Golf. Yeah. I must tell viewers this who didn't catch up with it last week. The communication is very poor. Yeah, we all know that the Americans could get it on this streaming site, but the UK viewers were left in the dark until the day. And then, I found out it was on this LIV Golf Plus app. So, yeah, I was just watching on there. And it was quite interesting viewing. I mean, Dustin Johnson, I'd like to comment on Dustin Johnson. I talked about how long he'd had off. He had almost 4 months away from competition, and he looked massively out of condition. You know, I've never seen
really?
Dustin look so
tubby.
A bit tubby. Yeah. Sort of fat ass, and and he didn't play very well. Yeah, he finished 37th of 48, seven over par in the final round. So yeah, I wasn't impressed with Dustin Johnson last week. Yeah, maybe he'll come on for the run.
Okay. And one more thing before we look ahead, Steve. Again, the difference in the amount of stick golfers who engage with anything to do with Saudi get in relation to any other sport. And I'm obviously talking about that ludicrous fight that everyone was going on about. I mean, what is wrong with people? Why is that boxing thing so exciting to people? It's just not proper top-notch boxing. And yet my Twitter timeline is just absolutely full of people going on about this Fury v. Paul fight. But, of course, it takes place in Saudi. So, you know, we've talked about it before, haven't we? Someone like Laurie Cantor goes over there, tries and sets his family up for life and gets absolutely vilified. And, you know, they're all completely sort of, you know, tainted, and they're pariahs, aren't they, from the world of golf. And yet loads of other sports take place in Saudi, and everyone just nobody bats an eyelid. So I do think the golfers get it a bit hard in comparison to other sports people. That's a point I'd like to make.
I think you're absolutely right. And it is to do with looking after your families, isn't it? It's a point that does need to be made. I mean, Ian Poulter, I've given Poulter some stick through the years for being outspoken, a bit too cocky and brash. I find some of his comments difficult. But if you watch the Full Swing episode that involves him, you see he's a really good dad. Yeah, he's a really good dad. Yeah.
I still haven't got beyond the first 10 minutes. Have you finished it now?
I've done four now. Done four.
That's it, isn't it?
No, it's eight, isn't there?
Oh, is it eight?
Yeah. I think there's eight. I hope there's eight. I'd like to see more. But Poulter admits it's a business decision to look after his family, and because it's all relative. Yeah, you call him greedy, but then he's got all this massive house and planes to pay for and that. And he was missing cuts. The Poulter one's interesting. It starts off, you'll think, yeah, he makes some poor comments at the start, and you'll think, yeah, he's going to justify how I think about him. But you just see him around his family.
You warm to him, do you?
I just can see he's a good dad, and that's obviously more important than anything, isn't it?
Absolutely, mate. Brilliant. Okay, right then, let's look ahead. And this week we have got another fantastic tournament. It's the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Really looking forward to this one. John Rahm is back out. Can he continue his phenomenal run of form? He's 6-1 favourite to do so. Rory McIlroy, 9-1. Scuddy, the Crocus Scheffler, is 10-1. Will Zalatoris, 18, along with Colin Morikawa. And then it's 20-1, Max Homer and Justin Thomas. 22, Schauffele and Hovland. 25, Finau and Cantley and Day. And 28, Barr. So again, Steve, presuming this is an elevated tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to end up looking like an elevated tournament, aren't we?
Do you think they should think of a better name for them than elevated tournaments? I mean, can't they call them like platinum tournaments or something?
Yes, I agree with that. It's not a great word, is it, elevated? I mean, yeah. they toyed with designated, which is an even worse word. So
I
think you're onto something there.
I think whenever I hear the word elevated, I think of things like blood pressure and liver toxin readings, all those horrible things that a doctor refers to. So they need to think of a new name now, I think.
Or elevators. I think of elevators, like lifts, as we call them over here.
Okay, where is the tournament taking place? What sort of course is it? What kind of players will it suit?
Bay Hill Club and Lodge, Orlando, Florida, 7,466 yards, par 72, four par fives, 120 runners going to post, $20 million in the kitty, 3.6 to the winner. Bay Hill, there's a question.
The quick question, will the slightly smaller field mean they will actually deign to get round in time? I mean, it was ridiculous last week, wasn't it, in the Honda, where we didn't have any third round three balls to bet on because one three ball didn't get done in time. And, you know, that's poor. They're just playing too slowly, aren't they, of course?
it's been a problem this year with the cramming the fields. That problem will be eliminated next season when they reduce these fields to sort of live styles level. Yeah, it's quite interesting. And yeah, the prize money's going up to live level, and the fields will come. They'll certainly come down next season. All the noises coming out, they're going to make no. These invitations will be no cut events.
Right. Okay. Fine. Excellent.
Bay Hill was hosted since 1979. My uncle Arnie, God rest his soul, used to tinker with the track regularly. Yeah, he never let it be the same every year. Water's the main defence, loads of water hazard. And in recent years, it's played so firm and fast. It's been a real grind, really tough assignment now. Accurate approach play is the key, and good scrambling. They're all going to miss greens, so you've got to scramble well. There's lots of runoff areas around the greens. And unfortunately, I've got to do this.
Draw bias
klaxon. Yeah, it's significant this week. There's a strong chance of a draw bias. The Friday afternoon looks severe. I don't want to be out on Friday afternoon. I think the late early wave has got an edge here.
Is there any way of telling? First of all, I mean, for people who might think, okay, well, in that case, I'm going to wait until the three balls are announced. When do they tend to announce the three balls, and how can a golf punter who maybe isn't as experienced as you at finding their way around the World Wide Web for the key info, how can they glean that info?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not consistent when they release them. You're relying on a lot of things. You know, you're relying on the sort of tournament director. You might get a really sort of, really keen tournament director that gets them out. And you might have another one who's a bit more casual about it. But yeah, if you stay up all night tonight, you'll get them. And then by early morning tomorrow, we should be there. So
that's on PGA Tour on the app or the website, yeah?
Yeah, the PGA Tour website. I think it's sensible to wait. I'm going to suggest four players that are on my final shortlist. And whichever of these four gets in the right side of the draw, they're the ones I'll be backing.
Okay, so you're going to hold fire on your
Yeah, I'm holding fire because I think this is a significant draw bias. Yeah, Friday afternoon looks unplayable.
Blimey, O'Reilly. I suppose the only flip side to that is if it is unplayable, they could go out on Saturday morning.
Well, yeah.
It's too windy.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes these plans go wrong because it gets too much and then balls are oscillating and whatnot. But I think they'll prepare the greens at a speed so that doesn't happen. So I think they will be out in those tough winds, and then obviously water balls everywhere.
All right, mate. Yeah. Right, so keep an eye on the weather forecast. And which weather forecast app do you favour, Steve?
I go for all of them. You can't trust one these days, can you?
Have you got a favourite?
AccuWeather and the BBC one's so beautifully designed, but not as reliable. But the more the merrier in that regard.
Righty-ho, then. So I think you've already given it away, but we'll ask anyway. How many selections?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't. Sorry
to do that to your poorly throat. Four selections, and lead on with your main fancy for the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
It's Tyrrell Hatton at 35-1, who absolutely loves Bay Hill and seems very close to playing really well. Hatton's only PGA Tour win came in this event in 2020. He was fourth on his Bay Hill debut in 2017, and he was second last year, beaten by a shot. The course sets up superbly for him. He's arrived with loads of form and confidence. Basically, from the Open Championship onwards, he's been looking really solid. He was 11th in our Open. He was 8th in the Wyndham. He was 8th in the Italian Open, 7th in the Dunhill Links, 2nd in the DP World Tour Championship. Then this year, 7th in Abu Dhabi, 6th in the Phoenix Open. Yeah, I know this is an elevated designated event, but yeah, he's a strong enough character to win this. Yeah, he's not a frightened rabbit. He lives in Orlando. Family and friends around him. I think he's the best value in the field at 35-1 as things stand.
Okay. Obviously, the wind could be a factor. And presumably, Steve, that if he won this one in 2020, that would have been the last tournament before COVID with crowds, wouldn't it? Because the following week was players, which only lasted one.
It's a good point, well made.
In those 3 years, isn't it? Eh?
It's mad, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, yeah, BC. I was on Race to Burst Ground TV on Sunday, and Tanya Stevenson was
going. Still doing that?
I'm just coming to the end of that. But Tanya Stevenson used the expression BC when she was joking about how she used to bat Lauren Roberts for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And I think the modern BC is before COVID, isn't it? Rather than bringing Christ into calculations.
Did you tip any winners? You normally Toaster, don't you?
Yeah, I tipped Trap 1 in the opener at Toaster for a top two finish, and it finished second. So, yeah, wonderful start to proceedings. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Excellent stuff. Right then, so we've got Tyrrell Hatton. And following on from the fiery Englishman, I had to long that one out, obviously, because you were taking a swig of your hot drink. The second selection is...
It's Ricky Fowler, who I got loads of stick for chancing a few times last year. I don't think I'll be getting as much stick now. 66-1 Ricky Fowler's got to be worth a go here. He's definitely looking a lot like the old Ricky Fowler. You know,
look at what happened last week, Steve. All the comebacks. I mean, exactly. He can probably draw some inspiration from that, can't he?
I think you're absolutely right. You've just put a small amount of icing on my but he's back with Butch Harmon, and we all know Butch Harmon, you know, the greatest coach ever. Yeah, he's got that, yeah, magic dust he sprinkles on these players, and you see the confidence coursing back through Ricky's veins. He's already had a hole in one this year in the Phoenix Open. I think we're going to see a return to the PGA Tour winners enclosure. 2019 Phoenix Open was his last win. But he's got a great record in Florida. He won the Players' Championship. You must remember that one. He won the Players' Championship in stunning fashion in 2015. He won the Honda Classic by 4 shots in 2017. He's lived in Florida for ages. And his recent form, let's go for his recent form, because he's clearly there now. 6th place in the Fortinet Championship in September. Nearly won the Zozo Championship. Finished 2nd in that. And his last 3 starts, 11th in the Farmers Insurance Open, 10th in the Phoenix Open, 20th in the Genesis Invitational. So, yeah, he was chalked up at 80-1 on opening shows. I think there's so much juice in that. It's a former world number 4 we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, by the way, talking of Butch Harmon, I mean, you obviously know how much I love Butch Harmon, one of the greatest sports broadcasters ever. But I did sort of blanch a little bit at Claude Harmon's tweet in the week. I don't know if you saw that. He said... it was something about how his dad deserves to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because he's devoted his life to helping other golfers. I mean, you know, he's hardly Florence Nightingale, is he? You know, I mean, I think he's found time for the odd steak and fine red wine, hasn't he? You know, I mean, I think most of us would swap lives with Butch Harmon, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I don't think you should be inducting non-players into the Hall of Fame. There, yeah, there's plenty of people out. There's probably a tea lady at Bay Hill that has helped the golfers every year at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Should we be going to induct her in the Hall of Fame? No, that's not for me.
Okay, fair enough. Right then, so Tyrrell Hatton, Ricky Fowler next.
Keith Mitchell. We're going to take a chance on a visor wearer. we must make the point that Keith Mitchell's visor is the best of a bad bunch. He's got a very thick visor.
It's a lot
sturdier.
Who was a Korean player? Do you remember in the bronze medal shoot-off at the
Olympics? Oh, CT Pan.
And his wife had the visor that could have kept the shade off the whole field. It was massive.
Yeah, CT Pan's wife's visor was thick. But yeah, Mitchell's got some sturdiness to his visor, so I think he is king of the visors. And he's been impressive this year despite wearing a visor. He was 4th in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am at the start of this month, 5th in the Genesis Invitational last time out. He's in that final 3-ball with Rahm and Max Homer at the Genesis. You know, he didn't disgrace himself there. We're talking about a world-class golfer here, an underachiever. You know, he can be spectacular from tee to green. You know, his peers often talk about it. Yeah, they'd love to have that free-flowing swing he's got with the driver. Yeah, he's a jaw-droppingly good driver. And I think the switch to Florida might, you know, how he turns this form into a trophy. He prefers putting on Bermuda grass greens. His one PGA Tour title came in Florida in the 2019 Honda Classic, and he's got a great record at Bay Hill. He was 6th in the 2019 Arnold Palmer, 5th in 2020.
Like it. What's the most places you've seen so far? Only 120 runners. Can you get 8?
You can get 10. You can get 10. Yeah, 10. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Obviously, as we always say, probably the more places are on offer, the less chance you've got of getting best price. But if you are after the safety net of lots of each-way places, then go for it. So Steve's left the big names at the head of the market alone so far. One more tip. Who's this going to be, Steve?
It's Tom Hoagie at 125-1. We talked about accurate iron play being the key to success at Bay Hill. Hoagie is one of the best in the world in this category, and his short game's never been better than it is now. I think it's a bit disrespectful to Mr. Hoagie to chalk up 125-1. He's more confident than ever. Won his maiden PGA Tour title last year. He won the QBE Shootout Pairs event with Sahith Theegala just before Christmas. I know that's a jolly fun event, but yeah, he's played in Florida. I think it has got some significance. And he started this year with third place on his Century Tournament of Champions debut. Amazing performance. Last time out, Genesis Invitational, another elevated designated event, 14th in that. You know, give Tom Hoge some respect. He's the world number 30. He's a big old price there. Yeah, and he can get one of those 10 places, no trouble at all.
Nice one. Brilliant. Some very bold selections there. Okay, should we have a little spin through the fancy contenders? Because obviously all the big guns are out.
Contractually obliged.
We'll start with Jon Rahm, 6-1. I mean, you did say last week that these each way bets on him just never lose. Obviously, that's not always going to be the case. Was he just a little bit short for you this week, or do you think the track won't quite suit?
I think he's a I've got no interest in playing at 6-1 Jon Rahm. You know, he made his Bay Hill debut last year. He finished 17th. You know, he doesn't normally play this. He probably wouldn't be playing this if it wasn't elevated designated. You know, he always makes merry in California at the start of the year, but he's never won in Florida on the PGA Tour. And I've got no interest in playing that.
Okay. Have you got any other comments on any of the fancy contenders? Don't forget.
Hang on a second. Sorry, just
a quick plug for the new Racing Post comment service. All the leading contenders for both events. Steve will give an individual player comment for those, so check those out in the Racing Post newspaper, or if you're a Members Club subscriber, you can get those at 9 o'clock tonight. How about that? Right then, Steve, go on. Who else? What other strong thoughts have you got on the cadre at the head of affairs?
I mean, it's a big three these days, and they've been jostling for that world number one status. And Rory McIlroy into one's another one I can leave alone. He putted amazingly when he won this in 2018. Yeah, the greatest year of my life. We were on him at a big price for that one. And but he hasn't really fired in the stakes this year. Is he 32nd in Phoenix, 29th at Riviera? So yeah, the top two I can leave alone. By far the best of the front three for me is the one that's the biggest price, Scotty Scheffler. 10-1, the Crocus, as you nicknamed him now. I mean, I can't play 10-1 without knowing he's got the tee time I'm after. But he's the defending champion. He's hitting his approaches stiff again. And he's fresher than Rahm and McIlroy. If you remember before the Genesis, I was talking about he had to play a pro-am on the Monday, which was the last thing he needed after winning in Phoenix. But this week, it's different. Rahm and McIlroy played in the pro-am yesterday. Seminole pro member event, really elite golf club. And Scheffler didn't play in that. So I think, Scheffler could easily do what he did last year. He won in Phoenix, won at Bay Hill.
That nickname's yet to take off. I was quite hoping after we christened him the Crocus, because obviously he comes out to Bloomington, that might see on the peak of his, or on the brim of his cap, might see a picture of a crocus, but it hasn't.
Didn't go viral.
No, it didn't. I'm very
disappointed. This clip might go viral. Let's do something that makes this clip go viral, and then he might be, what are you going to do?
I don't think it's going to happen. I might have to give up on that one. All right, are we all done with the Arnold Palmer? What's that?
My attempts to do something to make it go viral.
You'd get a million views on TikTok if you did that, I'm sure.
There you go.
Have you tried TikTok yet?
I haven't tried anything. No.
Rubbish.
No,
absolute rubbish. It's not for me. I'm too old, aren't I?
More of a tic-tac man myself.
Right then, we're all done on the Arnold Palmer. So let's look at the other tournament taking place this week, which is the Puerto Rico Open. You will hear Steve mispronounce it various times, but more importantly, we'll get his selections. As I said, an absolutely crap field. Nate Lashley, favourite at 14. Brandon Harkins, 18. Andrew Novak, 18. Normie. 22, Scott Piercy. 22, Cameron Percy. Oh, there's even a watch your bets here. Piercy and Percy right next to each other. Just to complicate matters. Sam Stevens, never heard of him, 22. Eric Van Rooyen, 25. Akshay Bhatia is 25, Ryan Gerrard 28, MJ Defoe 28, and 33 Barr. What the hell? Who are all these people? Are these all the stars from the Corn Ferry Tour who are coming down and taking their chance with the big guns away to notch a debut triumph?
Yeah, it's a real hodgepodge, isn't it? Because you also get some veterans dipping their toes for a bit of fun.
Old Lenny get in?
Old Lenny's right on the cut line on the alternates, isn't he? Yeah, old Lenny's on tenterhooks waiting for the invite. Carlos Franco is in.
Is he the general?
It's a little bit of fun. It's not on the goggle box, I'm afraid. But
Rollins, he's playing.
As things stand, you know, pre-tea times, this is the best betting event of the week. So I've got three for you, and as I say, I like it. I like my chances.
All right. Should we get the track details first?
Yes, and it could confuse people because it's had a few name changes through the years. It's now known as the Grand Reserve Golf Club. It used to be Trump International, then Cocoa Beach. It's in Rio Grande, Puerto Rico. 7,506 yards, par 72, four par fives, 120 runners in this one as well. Very flat track, paspalum grass. Wind is normally the defense of this layout. Not much in the forecast this week, so we're going to see loads of birdies and possibly a maiden winner. Seven of the last nine Puerto Rico Opens have been won by a maiden.
Jolly good. So you've already revealed you've got three tips. Let's have the first of them.
Harrison Endicott. 50s went just before we came on air. 45-1 available. Still full of juice for me. This is a 26-year-old Australian. He played on the Latino America Tour in 2018. He's comfortable in this region. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour last year, a five-shot victory in the Huntsville Championship. Now he's on the PGA Tour and he's been playing well. 12th spot in the Fortinet Championship. It was a great start to his PGA Tour career. And he was 10th in the Bermuda Championship, an island event. And he was 22nd in the American Express. Last week, Honda Classic, 26th. All these finishes might not sound much to regular listeners, but this event is so weak that they are heady results.
Yeah, I think 26 against in Honda probably means he'd win this by half the track, doesn't it? Why is he not a favourite?
He's a really attractive price for me. Yeah. Ooh. So he's the number one.
You're very keen on Harrison Endicott. Right then, if it's not going to be Harrison Endicott, who could it be?
It's Sam Stevens, who has been back 25-1. Still a good bet. 26 years old, same as Endicott. loads of potential. I like what I've seen so far from Stevens. He started his professional career on the Latino America circuit. He won the Columbia Classic in 2021. He was good on the Corn Ferry Tour last year. And now he's been, he made a decent start on the PGA Tour. I mean, you talk about, the form of playing in better class of events in good company. He was 13th in the Farmers Insurance Open. I'll just let that speak for itself.
Yeah,
I can't speak. If Wayne Marder was here, he'd understand. It's like I've just seen back-to-back nine darters. Mm. But Sam Stevens, he missed the cut by a couple of shots last week. But he shot a Friday 69. So, he looks like a player going places. I'm obsessed with watching these interviews. I watch Sam. Sam Stevens looks assured and confident. And the fellow that I'm about to tip as my third selection is another one. Like, after the Honda Classic last week, you can tell. I think I'm a good people reader. I sound very cocky there, but you can tell who's genuinely confident and who's just blagging it.
Okay, right then. Well, with that in mind, you've given us a clue as to who your next tip might be.
Yeah,
it's not Harry Higgs, is it?
It's not Harry Higgs. It's Ryan Gerard, 28-1.
Yeah, he had a great week last week, didn't he?
He had a great week last week. He banked a check for $411,000, having Monday qualified for the Honda Classic. It just shows what you can do. So he's qualified for the Honda, then he's finished alone in fourth place. Yeah, this could be the launch pad for him. He's only 23 years old. He won on the Canadian Tour last summer. He was one of the best players on that circuit. And then he finished third in a Corn Ferry Tour event a couple of weeks ago. So he's taking his chance where he can get it. And now he's proved himself in PGA Tour company. So, Gerard is he's riding the crest of a wave. And as I say, I like his attitude. Yeah, he's a big runner for this.
What did he say in his presser? Was he keeping his feet on the ground or was he getting carried away with how well he played last week?
Well, the reporter was asking him loads of questions and he just kept coming up with the right answers, what his plans are for the future. And he said,
what's the capital of Peru?
He just said, I'm going to play golf. I'm just going to play golf. And, if you play well, if doors open, I just like the cut of his jib. And if you can finish fourth in the Honda, you can win this, can't you?
Absolutely. It's a really, really, why is it such a weak field? Because sometimes don't they sort of amalgamate European and US tour events, for some of these little shoulders, these little fringe tournaments? I mean, it's just such a, we might look back in 5 years and say, cool, what a star-studded lineup it turned out to be for the 2023 Puerto Rico Open. It's all about potential, I suppose, isn't it?
I hope we're looking back in 5 years and saying that, yeah.
Let's just hope we're here in 5 years.
Well, yeah, that's the point. The way I'm feeling today, yeah, it's an optimistic assessment.
I think one of your problems is you've got to carry around all that hair. I mean, it's getting so tall. It's hard for producer Will to get it all in frame. When's the famous haircut?
March 15. Yeah. Not long.
Okay. Have you told Tommy he's having his haircut yet?
Yeah, he's aware of it. Yeah. March 15.
Is he excited or
big date in our diaries? I don't think he's too keen. I think, you know, kids get confused, don't they? The idea of cutting, we're always telling him how dangerous scissors are. And, you know, I think he's associating bloodshed with a haircut.
Oh,
so,
no. Okay, fine. Well, right. I think we're all done on Puerto Rico, aren't we? Should we reiterate this week's tips?
We shall.
Okay. Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Tyrrell Hatton, Ricky Fowler, Keith Mitchell, Tom Hoagie.
Puerto Rico Open.
Harrison Endicott, Sam Stevens, Ryan Gerard.
And if you're only having one bet this week, what would you advocate?
I'd advocate Harrison Endicott each way. Because, as things stand, I can't get too heavily involved in the Arnold Palmer, just waiting for those tee times. So, I'm going to be watching like a hawk for those tee times. We want our players out late on the first day.
Okay, obviously we do know, Steve, that weather forecasts can change as well, can't they? So, you know, it's worth keeping an eye not just on the tee times, but also the weather.
True, good point, well made.
Brilliant, okay. And you can get in tomorrow's Racing Post all Steve's player comments, plus his expanded reasoning on what he fancies, plus those enhanced new price boxes that also have all the form and the key attributes. So loads there, please do check that out. Are we done?
I think so.
Anything exciting between now and next week?
No.
Literally nothing.
No, I don't think so. No, I just want to get back to full fitness. Yeah. Sobriety. Yeah, Chris Kirk's my inspiration. I think I need a week off the.
So you normally go out on a Wednesday night, don't you? But that'll be off tomorrow, will it?
I think that's off the cards. Yeah, because I did Wednesday night and Saturday night last week, and it's not done me any favours. So Chris Kirk has shown. Yeah, he's a very happy, cheerful chap. Mm. Yeah, maybe I need to go the whole hog.
I always think with alcohol, some of the happiest people I know are children, and they don't drink, do they?
That's a good point.
I quite often have a dry month, and I don't feel particularly morbid. I feel quite comforted by the fact that I'm doing myself a bit of good. So, yeah, it's worth giving it a go, I reckon.
Well, when Chris Kirk won, the first thing he thanked was his sobriety.
He did.
So that just says it all, doesn't it?
It certainly does, mate. Okay, well, you never know. There might be a link between tipping winners and not drinking, but it's probably unlikely, isn't it?
We shall see.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you to producer Will. Most of all, thank you for watching. We're back next week for a big week. It's Players' Championship and the Kenya Open. Hope you can join us for that.